The John Mitchell is one of approximately 40 hired steam drifters that were lost along the south coast during the First World War. Of these, more than half were lost off Dover as a result of collisions, mines, or due to group attacks by German destroyers in the Dover Strait. Of the rest, many with whimsical names such as Golden Sunset, Ocean Star, and Silvery Harvest, the majority were lost due to mines or collision. Some are listed simply as having disappeared, their fates unclear. A very small number of steam drifters survive today, one being the Feasible, built in Aberdeen in 1912. Feasible was requisitioned by the Admiralty in both World Wars and assisted in the destruction of U-48 on the 24th of November 1917 after the U-boat had become trapped on Goodwin Sands. This steam drifter, one of the few remaining vessels of its type, is listed on the National Register of Historic Vessels. More commonly, the remains of such vessels survive on the seabed around our coasts in various states of preservation. They are hidden and unknown to most, silent memorials to those who served and died in them. Thanks to generous funding by the Heritage Lottery Fund, the Maritime Archaeology Trust has been able to work with volunteers to research and explore the John Mitchell and other First World War wrecks through the Forgotten Wrecks of the First World War project. Volunteer divers have helped survey the vessel's remains and collect information, video and images from the site to help improve access and interpretation for non-divers. Volunteer researchers have been looking at the historic records associated with the site and researching diagnostic features such as the 3-pounder gun it was equipped with when it sank. Volunteers have also been recording artifacts that have been recovered from the John Mitchell over the years by scuba divers. These items are held in private collections, but by photographing them and making the images available online, we can enable virtual public access while helping to virtually reunite the artifacts with the ship they came from. Underwater, photography, combined with the innovative use of software and image processing techniques, is enabling the Maritime Archaeology Trust to examine and present underwater sites like the John Mitchell in exciting new ways. For those unfamiliar with a South Coast diving environment, it is generally quite dark. The diver's view, already restricted by the face mask, is often limited to a few metres in any direction. Handheld underwater torches are generally essential, providing a cone of light within which features and structure are revealed as diver and torch move over the seabed. But in June 2015, volunteer and staff divers from the Maritime Archaeology Trust benefited from exceptional diving conditions with underwater visibility in excess of 30 metres. Combined with the new methodology for rapidly recording and presenting underwater sites, this has resulted in a number of 3D models of First World War shipwrecks that can be explored online, enabling members of the public to study the sites in detail from the comfort of their own home. Divers swam over and around the wrecks, taking hundreds of overlapping photos with a digital underwater camera. These photos are then loaded into imaging software that, given enough processing power and time, produces a 3D model from the 2D images. In the case of the John Mitchell, the wreck of which covers an area of seabed approximately 30 metres by 10 metres, the 3D model is derived from 684 photographs and offers a hitherto unparalleled opportunity to virtually swim over and around the wreck, viewing the whole site or zooming in for a closer look at any of the individual elements. For the first time, people can explore the wreck of the John Mitchell online, navigating their way around the wreckage and seeing for themselves how it survives on the seabed today. The 3D model has enabled one of the project's non-diving volunteers to examine the seabed remains of the John Mitchell's gun from all angles, comparing it with historic plans and photographs to confirm the type and the model. The information on the John Mitchell, its wreck and its artifacts, and many other First World War wrecks along the south coast, will soon be publicly available via the project website. For those who prefer to see things firsthand, exhibitions are touring the south coast counties from Kent to Cornwall, telling the stories behind some of the forgotten wrecks and displaying artifacts recovered from them. You can also meet project staff and handle some First World War shipwreck artifacts on the MAT's Discovery Bus and Event Tent, and hear about the project and its findings via public talks. With approximately 1,000 wrecks to research, the task is enormous, and the Maritime Archaeology Trust would like to hear from anybody who would like to get involved, whether researching from the comfort of your own home, searching public archives, or getting wet and recording sites on the seabed. Forgotten Wrecks volunteer Rob Hale has been looking into the John Mitchell's gun, and his findings will soon be available on the Forgotten Wrecks website. The Maritime Archaeology Trust would like to thank the following for their contribution to the research and recording of the John Mitchell: Dave Wendes, Dave Robbins, Julian Hale and Rob Hale, Peter Crick, Jane Maddox, Keith Clark and Martin Davies. You've been listening to one of a series of audio articles created by the Maritime Archaeology Trust as part of their Heritage Lottery-funded Forgotten Wrecks of the First World War project. Future articles will cover more of the wrecks and sites that are being researched and investigated through the project. We'd love to get your feedback on these articles and your suggestions for what you'd like to hear about the future. And, of course, if you'd like to get involved as a project volunteer, perhaps you'd like to write or record one of the future audio articles. Please contact us via the project website, The Forgotten Wrecks, or via telephone on 023 8023 7300. Your reader for this article has been Peter Crick, and your sound engineer, Mr. Chris Litton. And that brings us to the end of this audio article. Goodbye.